All right, we're going to talk about children, train up a child. And like I said last week, this may seem a little odd for Sunday morning, but it's just kind of the way things have worked out here. I want you to hear it. I want the ones that need to hear this to be here. You know, if you're raising children, you need to hear this. I needed it when I was young and raising children. Everybody does. You need help. You need all the help you can get. All right, let's pray, and then I want to read a bunch of scripture, and then we'll get on with it. Now, Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for everybody's here. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures we're going to read. Thank you for the instruction that's in your word. Thank you for not leaving us in the dark and leaving us to our own devices and all this very important matter. You've given us clear instructions and wisdom from your word, and Lord, I pray you would help us to avail ourselves of it this morning, that we'd listen and lay it to heart, and that we would keep the word of God that we hear this morning, the instruction from it. Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, to raise these kids so that they will love you, serve you, be good people in this wicked world, lights, they'd be arrows that we can used to set the enemy back instead of aiding his cause. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the Bible says this, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." While we're in that chapter, if you want to, let me try to go down through here and catch all the verses that are there. Look in verse 17. It says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." My, my. Every one of these are something else. Look in verse 21. "He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his own at length, his son at length." Delicately bring him up. All right, now let me read to you in Proverbs 13 and verse 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." In that same chapter, in verse 15, 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." And then in chapter 23 of Proverbs, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell." Boy, that's not pleasant for our culture that we live in, is it? I mean, that borders on, that's child abuse. No. The Bible uses pretty strong language. When we think of beating, we think of something beyond. That's not what it's talking about. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 through 11 says, "For they," it's speaking of our earthly fathers, our fathers, our earthly fathers, "for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he," speaking of God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." In other words, it makes you live right. God's chastening will bring you to the point where you'll be partakers of his holiness and you'll live right. You'll be righteous. Amen. That's right. That's the whole purpose, the point of it all. When you're raising children, that's the purpose and the point of it all. You want them to grow up and be righteous. You don't want them to be wicked. You want them to be somebody. You don't want them to be a low life, no worthless, hateful wretch that's a plague on everybody around them. You don't want them to be that. You want them to grow up and be somebody that's a blessing. You want other people to like your children, don't you? You want them to think well of your children. Sure you do. Ephesians chapter 6, one more verse, and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." All right, now listen to me for just a few minutes, and we'll hurry up and try to get it done and get out of here, but I'll try to be as clear and short as I can. But let me just say a few things here. Discipline as a child is the failure or success of that life. I mean, that's it right there. We are dead on the matter that matters the most. The discipline that a child has when he's growing up makes him somebody or makes him a wretch. It is the thing that makes the difference in the raising of a child. Discipline. All right? Discipline is the one aspect of raising children that makes or breaks them for life. More mistakes are made in this area than in any other. More mistakes are made by parents and everybody else that has anything to do with the discipline of the children than in any other area. Many children turn out bad because of the lack of any discipline at all. The first verse I read, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Most children have no discipline at all. They're not taught anything. They're not restrained in any way. They're not controlled in any way. They're not taught in any way. They just grow up like wild weeds out in the woods somewhere. No control, no instruction, no correction, nothing. And how do they turn out? When a child grows up with no discipline, when they get their way, when they do as they please, when they're never told no, how do they turn out? Terrible. They're the most worthless of people on the earth. Many children, when a child does not have discipline and he's left to himself, it's because parents are lazy and self-centered, or they're too busy and preoccupied with other things to give them the attention they need. Now that's a fact. I think about these things before I say them. Before I write them down, I think about it. Now, is that really true? Is that really the way it is? And that's really the way it is. A child that is not disciplined is because he's got lazy parents. Because it is a job. And a parent gets weary with it. Because children are relentless, Betty. They never slow down. They never stop. They never give up. And when you have a child, you're in for it for the next 20 years. I mean, and you got to keep up the battle. But most parents, they just despair and give up and just let them go. Put them in front of a TV. Give them something to occupy them. Get them out of my hair. I can't stand it anymore. And it's the ruination of the child. You know, parents shouldn't have children if you're not willing to raise them. If you ain't willing to put into them, they're not a pet dog or any other kind of pet. They're a child, a human. They're made in the image and likeness of God. They're a gift from God to you. And you owe it to them, and you owe it to God to raise them, to train them, to discipline them, and to put everything you got into it. It's more important than anything else you'll do in your life. It is the heritage of the Lord that you're going to leave to this world. So, many children turn out bad because discipline was administered without wisdom. I'm going to say a bunch of things here and just try to run through them. But a lot of people just don't know what they're doing when they're disciplining their children. They don't do it in wisdom. They don't do it with thinking it through. They just fly off and they just do it out of habit. They do it out of anger, out of frustration, out of the example that they were given growing up. Many children turn out bad because they get what discipline they do get is administered without wisdom. Many children turn out bad because discipline was administered in anger. Oh, yeah. That's the way most parents are. You ever see them in Walmart smacking their kids with boxes and stuff and cussing them and saying all kinds of and screaming at them? And anger will not work. Discipline and anger will not work. And a lot of children turn out bad because of that right there. The only discipline they got was when their angry mother or angry father just beat the devil out of them in a fit of anger because they were frustrated and they were causing them trouble. Or made them ashamed or something in front of other people. Many children turn out bad because the discipline was overdone too much. Some people are just on their kids all the time, all the time, all the time. You ever around somebody where every 2 seconds they're whooping their kid? That don't work. No. You ever see somebody just won't let them have any space at all? Won't let them breathe? I mean, they're just on top of them all the time, just trying to control every move they make. And no, that won't work either. And we're talking about children. Parents who don't know how to discipline their children with the proper measure will see in the end that it hindered and harmed rather than helped. You ever see anybody that don't know how, when to stop whooping their kid? Do you ever see anybody that don't know how to even start? They just smack them and just make them mad. Leave me alone. It's a kid's attitude. If you're going to spank a child, if it comes down to the rod, you got to hurt him. You got to make him feel some pain. Enough to make him stop and say, whoa now, whoa. If they just look at you with that defiant look, you ain't got it done yet. But you got to know when to stop too. Man alive, I've seen people I just can hardly contain myself. Stop, man, what's the matter with you? And too often, too much. It shouldn't be something that has to be done all the time. Every child's different. We've talked about that here too. You know, I mean, we've had children we didn't hardly have to do that with. We've had some that had to have it every day. You know who you are. But that's the way it is. I mean, children are different. Some of them are just more stubborn, more hard-headed, slower learners. But it has to be done. You've got to do it with wisdom, and you've got to do it in measure, the proper measure. You know how you have to have enough wisdom to know when to start and when to stop and how much to give. I mean, you have to be sensitive in that. Many children turn out bad because the discipline was not consistent, and that's a big one right there. They never know for sure. The children don't win. Their parents are serious with their threats. Man, this is something I've hammered on a lot in our home. Don't do that. I mean, don't warn them 3 times. Don't warn them 2 times. You tell them. And if they violate it, then it's doom and gloom. Immediately. Instantly. If you'll do that consistently, you'll find the problem will just clear up real quickly. And when you speak, they'll listen. And if you'll do it when they're little, you can't start when they're 15. You can't start when they're 10 or 8. You better do it when they're 2 and 3 and 4. You better get it in them. Yes. Children turn out bad because the discipline was not consistent. And I remember Brother Jones telling us one time when he was preaching on family and stuff, he said, and it always stuck with me. You know how that is. Sometimes a preacher will preach and you hear through the years different sermons and just little things stick with you. He said that children are compulsive gamblers. He said, if you are consistent 98% of the time, they think it's worth the gamble. They still think it's worth the gamble. I might be able to get away with it. See, you got to be consistent. They got to know that if I cross that line, I know what's coming. You'll have a child. You'll have a child that's trained and able to deny himself, which we're going to get to that in just a second here. But many children turn out bad because the discipline was administered too late. People slept while the enemy sowed the tares, and now it's too late to remove them. You wait too late to wake up and realize you got children to raise, and it's going to be too late for you. I'm telling you, the first 2, 3, 4 years of a child's life is what matters most. You're going to make him what he is in that time. That's sobering. That's alarming, but it's true. They've all said that. The Catholic Church has said it for years. You know, those first few years, if they can have a child, that's what he'll be the rest of his life. Those are what they call the formative years. You become what you're going to be. Everything gets set in concrete about your disposition and your attitude and your perception and view of the world. So what's going on with a little child? They're putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. They're getting them a little at a time, and they're forming their own little view of the world and everybody and how they fit in. And you better be aware of that, and you better be conscious of it, and you better put in all you can put in to make that come out like you want it to come out, like it's supposed to come out. Or you won't raise a child that'll know the Lord, that'll serve the Lord, that'll be a kind of a person that you'll be glad you brought into this world. Many children turn out bad because their parents weren't on the same page with the discipline. And that has a lot to do with, that upsets the whole order of authority in a child's life. That right there. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Mom, Dad better be on the same page. You boys, before you marry some girl, you better make sure you're on the same page about raising children. Or you're entering into a nightmare. And it ain't going to end well. Amen. And mama better be in submission to daddy, because that's the proper order. I'm telling you, I could park right here and I may just do it. It depends on how you take it. But I'm telling you, I can look around and see people, and I always have. I can watch these kids that turn out to be nightmares, and you can run it right back to the home and you'll see a mama in control, a mama who won't submit to daddy. A mama who puts daddy down in front of their children. A mama who undermines daddy. Amen. That's the way it is, buddy. You can watch it. Just check it out yourself and see. That is God's order. I mean, does your Bible say that the man is the head of the woman? Does it? It does. Sure does. Does it say that Christ is the head of the man? Yes, it does. So daddy better be in submission to God clear enough for those children to see it very clearly that daddy's in submission to God. And mama better be in submission to daddy. It better be clear to those children that whatever dad says goes. Even if she don't agree with it, she can tell him later and they can talk about it somewhere else. Not in front of the children. Children that grow up in a situation, in a home like that, where things are not in the proper order. And I mean when mama ain't in submission to daddy, when she won't respect him and what he says, and she overrules him, you can mark it down. That child's going to grow up and he will not have any respect for authority in the workplace, in the government, with the law, nowhere. They're going to be a person that is a rebel and a reprobate. Yes. Now that's the price you pay for having your way. It's law and order, and it's the proper order. All right, let's see here. Discipline and chastisement, they go hand in hand. Let me make sure I don't get lost here. But look up in the dictionary, discipline. Look up chastise as a verb. Discipline means education, instruction, cultivation, and improvement. Discipline. Now see, when I'm saying discipline, you're thinking spanking. No, that's not what it is at all. Discipline is not that at all. Discipline is instruction. Discipline is education. It's cultivation. It's improvement. It's comprehending instruction in arts and sciences and correct sentiments, feelings. In other words, discipline of a child is educating him, teaching him, giving him information and the right information on the right feelings, the right morals, the right manners, and the right subordination to authority. Now, do y'all know what that means? Do you know what insubordination means? It means you're a rebel. You won't submit to authority. You think you got a right to rule where you don't. One of the basic things we've got to instill in the children, if you want them to turn out right, is that they must submit to the authority that's over them. And none of us are ever immune from that. When you're an adult, you have to submit to authority. You can't get out here on the road and drive as fast as you want to. Now, if you do, you can go ahead and do it, but you're going to pay the price. You can't just do whatever you please. There are laws that we have to obey, or there are penalties that we incur. That's why the prisons are full. And the jails everywhere, county jails, ain't got room for the people because you got people who were not taught as children to obey the law. Obey the rules. Submit to authority. They're defiant. That's why we've got this culture now that wants to kill the cops. The cops are the enemies. The cops are the pigs. They're evil. But they're the ones you'll call if somebody's mistreating you or your kids. Somebody steals your stuff, who are you going to call? That bunch of low-life, no-count hippies and renegades that protest all the time on the street and loot and burn buildings and stuff. You going to call them to protect you? The ones that want to kill the cops? No, there's law and order and authority. And children, part of the discipline of children is teaching them and instilling in them to respect and obey and submit to authority. And we've got a whole generation that is absolutely foolish. And they sit in Baptist churches too. Ain't nobody gonna tell my kids what to do. I've had children in our own family tell us, you know, you ain't my mom. I don't have to do what you say. My mama said I don't have to listen to nobody but her. Yeah, very foolish. I want you to know when I was a kid, anybody could whoop me. Anybody. And they did, too. And nobody said nothing. In fact, the way it was when I grew up, if you got a whooping, if one of the neighbors, which that never happened, but I mean, at school, if I, or anywhere else, most of the kids that went to school with me, if they got a whooping at school, they got a whooping when they got home if mom and dad found out about it. They just got another one. Their mom and dad didn't run to the school and say, where's that teacher whooped my kid? Some of you, a lot of you seen there, my Aunt Wanda last night put a thing on there and it was, it's priceless. She was a school teacher. And I think I may have told you the story before about she's taught third grade and third and second grade. There's this little old black boy coming up through the third and second grade. He was terrorized in the classroom. He wouldn't obey nothing, wouldn't pay attention to nobody. And his mama sent word to school, there wasn't nobody going to whoop him. Well, he got in her class and wasn't very long till he pulled the same junk. And so she called his mama and she said, now here's the way it is. She called her by name because she knew her and has a little old place and everybody knows everybody. She says, he's done this and this and this. And she said, I'm going to either whoop him or else he's going to fail. She said, his mama said, what? Said, well, you mean if you don't whoop him, he's going to get zero? And she said, that's exactly how it is. And so she said, well, just go ahead and whoop him. So she take him in the office and the principal was there, and so she paddled his little bottom. And she gave him a pretty good one, she said, because he needed it. And when she got done, the principal said, whoop him some more. And so yesterday on there, she's got a picture of her and that black boy. He's all grown up, a-hugging her. And he wrote a long thing on there, praising her and thanking her. Yeah, and he wasn't the only one. There were others too. But see, you know, and that's what she said. She said, we had a little trouble figuring out who was boss at the first. But after that, everything went all right. And see, that's the way it works. And that's the way it works in your home too. I mean, that boy has the utmost respect for her and love for her. And it may have made the difference in his life. Because his mama didn't want him whooped. So she probably didn't whoop him either. And he needed it bad. And it didn't hurt him a bit. It helped him. But discipline. Discipline is teaching them to be submitted to authorities. You tell your kid ain't nobody going to whoop you. Ain't nobody got a right to whoop you. No, the best thing you can do for your kids is tell them anybody's got a right to whoop you, and I'll back them for it. Now, you better behave yourself. And they will. You tell them, ain't nobody going to touch you. They're going to be a terror. They're going to be a hateful little monster. And then they're going to grow up to be Lord only knows what else in society. It'll escalate from childish mischief into crime and wickedness. Chastisement means to correct by punishing, to punish, to inflict pain by stripes or in a other manner, for the purpose of punishing an offender and recalling him to his duty. It means to reduce to order or obedience, to restrain, to awe, to repress. To restrain, to restrain. To chastise means you restrain them. Ain't nothing that'll restrain a child like a rod. Ain't nothing that'll restrain anybody like a rod. And that rod represents a lot more than a switch or a paddle. Yes, it does. It's anything that inflicts pain. But I do believe that rod that is a switch is what God meant when he's talking about children. That rod, foolishness bound in the heart of a child, but the rod and reproof will drive it far from him. Now, I've got some things to say here, and I'm going to hurry up, but I want you to listen to me. It's law and order. There can be no order unless the law is enforced. Finney always, he was a lawyer, and he understood law, and he preached this a lot. A law is of no effect unless there is a penalty. You can make all the laws you want, but if nothing's going to happen to you, if you break them, they're no law. The law is only as strong as the penalty behind it. So you must have a way to enforce the law. And when it comes to children, it's a rod. Amen. That's the way it is. I mean, that always has to be on the table. It has to be on the table. You know what I'm talking about? It has to be an option that's known by the children and by the parents. We don't want to do this. You know, and really, I never had any kind of pleasure in that at all with the children. The children say, you know, you've heard this saying where a parent says, this hurts me worse than it does you. Well, the kid don't believe that, but it really is the truth. You know, you don't want to do it. It's something that you don't want to do. You love the child. You don't want to do that. And unless you're angry and mad at them, and then you just beat the living daylights out of them. No, that's going to fail. But when it's administered the right way, the parent don't want to do it. But it has to be there. The rod's not what discipline's about. The rod is not what discipline is about. It's only the enforcer that's always on the table if a child will not obey words of instruction. Simple, simple. It's only there to enforce. You listening? Discipline is not punishing a child after he's done something wrong. While I'm talking about this, I want you to think about God and how he deals with his children. Use that as your example, as your pattern for raising children. The Bible compares it real close. Learn Hebrews, where I read you all ago. It compares an earthly father and his discipline and chastisement with his children with the heavenly father in the way he does with us. If you be without chastisement, you're not sons of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, you're not. You're illegitimate. God's not your father. Because if God's your father, you're going to be chastised by him. He's going to punish you sometimes. And he's going to correct you. And he's going to do things that'll bring pain to you in order to straighten you out and bring you back to the right way, is what the definition said there. To return you back to your senses. I've raised children, and I know how it works, you know, and I've seen they get this craziness about them or something. I don't know what it is, but they just get out of control. And boy, after a little thrashing, boy, they're just so calm and sobered right back up, and in their right mind again? That's right. I mean, it's the kind of medicine that just fixes it right now. God knows that with us too. We know what He says. We go to church and preacher preaches and we just, yeah, and talk and goof off and do something else and won't listen. And then God will smack you, buddy, with something that hurts. Get your attention again. If you're one of His. Now, if you do that stuff and nothing ever happens to you, you better be worried about your soul. Discipline is teaching and training the mind of the child. It's not just punishing a child after he's done something wrong. That's not what discipline is. That's not what chastisement, you can put it there, but that don't, you know, chastisement alone. The rod and what? Reproof. Discipline is teaching and training the mind of a child. Remember, the mind is the keeper of the heart. Remember that? All right. Without the mind being trained from the time it begins to develop, it'll not fulfill its duty, and the heart of the child will be wide open to the enticements of the world around it. You've got to work on that little child's mind. That's where your discipline is focused. Listen to me. That's where your discipline is focused. You've got to teach them. They don't know nothing. They're born a blank piece of paper. And as somebody wrote one time, they're a blank piece of paper that we write on with a permanent marker. We put things in their minds and in their attitude and stuff. And we better be careful what we're putting in there. And we better be diligent to put the right things in there. We're developing. We're growing. We're making a person here. You got a blank. Now, when Esther has this baby is a blank. Can't talk. Can't walk, can't do nothing. I mean, all you're going to be worried about for a while is just trying to get her to smile at you. Goochie, goochie, goochie. Make all kinds of stupid things just to get her to smile a little bit. Because that's all she can do. Can't do nothing else. But they start in, they start learning. And after a few months, then they start looking around them and say, hey, there's a world here. They start seeing things. And observing things. Then they have to reach out and touch them and get a hold of them and eat them, and they'll eat poison because they don't know no better. They don't know anything. You're there to keep them from dying until they get old enough to understand some things. That's right. And so you got to teach them. You're working on their mind. And the mind is what the child knows. Remember, I preached about the mind and the heart before this, see? And the mind is about facts. It's about knowledge. It's about a right comprehension and discerning between good and bad, right and wrong, and all of that. That's what you need to train that child about. Discipline's not, it's about teaching the child to say no to himself. Now, boy, it's real important. You need to get that. Discipline is about teaching that child to deny himself. Putting in his mind, yes, no. And isn't that the basics when they're little? What's the first thing they learn to understand? No. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Did you ever see any of them? I mean, I've seen lots of them, our kids, you know. It wasn't long till they'd walk up to something and go, they'd shake her head like this. You know, they wanted to get it, but they'd look at it and, because they done had their hands smacked too many times for that. They knew. They had a yes and no in here already. And see, it already overcame their heart's desire. Their heart said, I want it. But their mind said, you try it and you're going to get smacked again. No, no. So they back off. Well, that's how it goes. But it escalates to much greater things. By nature, a child won't deny himself. That's where we get all confused. So many people do this sinful nature stuff, you know. A child will not deny himself. Now, you can't argue that. That they will not. They don't, by nature, know that something is a no-no. You got to tell them, no-no. Now, they don't understand why it's a no-no. You can sit and explain to them when they can't even talk or understand any words. Now, honey, this is why you can't do it. But they ain't getting nothing from that nonsense. The only thing they understand is when their hand hurts because you smacked it. Or their bottom hurts because you spanked them and said no. But if you don't do that, they won't have any control at all. You teach them self-control. And if any man will come after me, he must first deny himself. If you want to doom that child's soul to hell forever, don't ever deny him. Don't ever teach him to say no to himself. Don't you ever say no to him. Just let him have his way always, or her, and you'll have a person who will never be saved. They can't be saved. We have, it's the most important thing that he has to be trained to do is to deny himself. We've made no progress until we see the child deny themselves without our threatening and chastising him after he's already yielded to his desires. You ain't made no progress until you can see them deny themselves. If they'll just do it unless you're there with fixing to hit them. I mean, if you turn your back, they do it anyway. You ain't got nowhere. Man, you got to keep working on this. They ain't got it yet. You got to see them say, no, I'm not going to do that because it's wrong. I'm not going to do that because mama said it's wrong. Daddy said it's wrong. That's okay. If mama and daddy says it's wrong, it's wrong. Yeah, they do have some authority, over children. That's the way it is. Children need to understand that too. Until he's being controlled by, until then, he's being controlled by force by somebody else, which you can be sure that he will rebel against as soon as he's strong enough to do so. Yes, sir. If all it is an iron fist, and he never yields and he never learns to yield himself, he'll rebel against it. You're just holding him. It's just like a wild animal in a cage. Did you ever see a bird in a cage, a wild bird? We had one time. A guy in Mexico sold me this wild bird and painted it so it looked like a canary. Or he switched it. Somehow he pulled a good one on us. But that bird liked to beat itself to death in the cage. You couldn't teach it to be still in the cage. Had to let it go. As soon as we opened the door, out it went. Away it went. Wild. No control. And that's the way a child is. When they're not, they have to learn to control themselves and not just be controlled all the time. Now listen to me. You hear me say this so many times, but example is the strongest influence. You show the child by your own example of denying yourself. If you want them to be able to deny themselves, they have to see you do it. Not just say so. Not just tell them to do it. They got to see you living what you're preaching. Example is the strongest influence. He'll be much more influenced by your consistent example than he will by the rod. Put a lot of stock in that rod, and it's important, and the Bible says it's important, but he'll be much more influenced by your example, parent, than he will by that rod. Mark that down. A child's real keen to spot the thing about, like, do as I say and not as I do in their parents and others. Discipline is about teaching a child to recognize right and wrong and choose the right. He has to do it with the mind, like we talked about in these other messages. And in order to establish right and wrong, there has to be an authority. And the child, and it can't just be because I said so. Can't just be that way. It has to do. You got to establish an authority. The child must be taught from the time his mind starts to develop that there is a God in heaven who is the Almighty. And who is in control of all of us. And who we all must submit to and obey. Child needs to learn it. A child learns that real easy. They're not filled with the world's philosophies and arguments. You tell them there's a God, they believe you. You tell them there's a God that loves them, they believe that. Put it in them early. Make them know from the time they start learning about the world around them that God made all this. And He made it because He loved us. And He made it wonderful for us. Remind them often. When they're eating something real good, like a piece of fruit, make sure they understand God made that. And He had you in mind when He made it for you. Ain't it good? It'll make their little view that they've got a whole lot better, a whole lot more healthier. It'll establish an authority that applies to me as well as to them. They can go along with that. They'll buy into that. They'll accept it. Now, they won't buy into something that they got to obey, but you don't. Example. They got to be taught that God's given us a book that tells us all about Him and what He expects and desires of us. Teach them from a child the Holy Scriptures. Help them to understand and to love the Scriptures. Don't make it a burdensome, terrible experience for them to read the Bible or to hear the Bible. Don't use verses out of the Bible just as chastisement or put downs or a rod. Don't use it as a rod. Oh no. Make them love it. Teach them to love it. And teach them to honor it. Again, the best way to teach a child that and to put it in the fiber of his being is to be an example of godliness before them. Show them what it's like to live in submission to God with love. Discipline of children requires looking deeper into their souls all the time. And not just seeing them as pets or pestilence around your house. That's a real challenge for young parents for a lot of reasons. Because they're not accustomed to looking very deep into other people. Young people are not. Most of them are not. Once in a while, you got a young person that's got a little more understanding. But for the most part, when we're young, we just don't. What else can I say? We just don't. We've not had enough experience with life ourselves yet to look at our children as real people, to be able to look into the future and to see the consequences of what we're doing with them right now and to see how they're going to develop that personality and those traits that are showing up in them right now, how they're going to develop. When we're young, we don't have the wisdom to discern that because we haven't lived long enough to see it play out in front of our eyes. When you get older and you've seen generations come and go, you start kind of thinking, man, will that happen? Yep, 2 + 2 = 4. That's what happens. This and this makes this. And then you start looking at the children now and you say, oh, no. But when you're young, you don't do that. You just kind of... Young people are too busy. They're so busy and preoccupied with all their own cares of life as they're starting a marriage and a family and a career and all of that, and all the burdens of life are so much that a lot of times, most of the time, they don't pay attention to the children enough. Oh, they might get a ball and throw a ball around. That's what the world says. Play ball with them. Be their buddy. Play games with them. Have fun with them. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Y'all understand me? I'm talking about you better know that child. You better study. You better strive to look deep into their heart and soul and mind and keep a close watch on what's developing there and what's going on in there. And buddy, that takes some attention. That takes some effort on the parents' part. That takes laying aside some things and concentrating and really applying yourself to it. There's an attitude in... when you're young and you have children, that they'll just grow up and they'll be fine no matter what. You know, I mean, they're just kids. They'll grow up. You can just turn them loose in the morning and hope they come in at night. And if they do, everything's okay. No. No, they require training. They require discipline. Hope y'all are listening. They can't just be let go. A child left to himself. Bring his mother to shame. Can't do it that way. Won't work that way. They won't turn out right that way if they're just left to themselves. parents got to pay attention, and parents got to be involved, and parents got to be putting forth effort here. And then in young parents, there's this ill-founded and self-confidence that they have. That they know what they're doing better than most everybody else, and their children will never turn out bad. I've actually heard people say those very exact words. And I've watched them while their children turned out to be devils. Almost every time. I've seen people who had no children swear up and down vehemently that if they had children, they sure wouldn't be like them people's children. And they were 10 times worse when they did get children. There's this ill-founded confidence. A person, you know, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You think you know how, you're doomed to fail. If there's anything about you that's anywhere near right, when you hold that child the first time, you're going to realize, man, I'm way over my head. Lord, what am I going to do? And if you don't get it at that time, all about 3 or 4 years down the road, you're going to get it. Because they're going to be talking. It's amazing to me to watch young parents and how the children just set them back sometimes with the things they say and the things they do. And it's like, you know, when they start getting their opinions, and that comes early. Oh, they got opinions. As soon as they begin to interact with the world around them, Betty, they got an opinion. And they are strong to enforce it. I mean, you realize right away you got a battle on your hands. And anyway, discipline got to be done in love. But first, wait a minute, I want to back up here and say a couple more things here. While we train their minds, this is really important. While we're training their minds, you got to teach a child. Now, son, this is wrong to do this. You know? Son, this is the right way to do things. You got to tell them. Say, well, I don't listen. A lot of times they don't, but they listen more than you think they do. And whether they listen or not, it's your duty to tell them. Just like it's my duty to tell you when you won't listen. You've been told. And it's your job as a parent to teach the child. Teach him, right from wrong. Teach him knowledge. Give him knowledge. And give him an example of understanding and knowledge before him. That's what you do. But while you're training his mind, you better keep a close watch on his heart. Now that's a challenge because the child also learns early on how to hide what's in their heart. It astounds me how early they learn that. You know, David said, the psalmist said, they go forth from their mother's womb as soon as they be born speaking lies. Well, the sinful nature people use that to support their doctrine, but it is true. A child just as soon as he's able. A child that's just born can't even talk. How's he going to lie? As soon as they start talking, they start lying. Because they've already got their opinions, and they've already developed what they like and don't like, what's pleasant and not pleasant, what they want to do and what they don't want to do. They don't want to take no nap. I don't care how sleepy they are. No! They don't want to eat something they don't like. No. They don't want you to pick them up. No, sir. Fight, resist, and put up a ruckus. They've already developed all that. And they've already realized that you are an obstacle to their selfishness. So the best way to deal with that just comes kind of, you know, they just figured out right away. Lie. They're not good at it when they start because their face tells on them. But after they do that and fail and get whooped for it, they figure out, boy, I got to fix it. Next, that book of George MacDonald brings that out. Boy, oh, Lord. Yeah. Little girl just resolved in her heart that next time she wouldn't let it show on her face. And so they learn how to do it. They learn how to deceive you, so it's hard for you to know really what's in their heart. But you can. You can. I'm going to tell you how. It's a challenge, but we must know something about what's going on in their heart in order to have any kind of true measure of whether we've affected their mind with our training. To even know whether you're doing any good, to even know where you're at, you got to know what's in their heart. And you can't discern from their what's in their heart by what they say. You listening to me? You can't talk to them and ask them questions and figure out what's going on in their heart. They will lie to you and deceive you. And the other side of that is you're very willing to be deceived and very inclined to be deceived because you love the little darling and you want them to be like they're telling you they are. And so you're going to be real inclined to believe their lies. You cannot tell what's in their heart by what they say to you with their mouth. Lord, have mercy if you don't get nothing else. Get that. You can discern what is in their heart by the kind of friends they tend to choose. Yes, sir. Watch who they gravitate to. I can look back on all of our kids. I can see exactly how it was. Birds of a feather flock together. Kind of friends you have is what you are. It's an old common saying among the world. Show me your friends and I'll tell you and I'll know what kind of person you are. That's exactly right. And that's the way it is. You can know what's in their heart by the kind of people they gravitate to. Alarms ought to go off if they go to the worst kids. If they hang around the worst kids. And that's where they go. If they avoid the good kind of people. You got a bad problem. You can tell what's in their heart by the things that interest them. And the things that don't interest them. I know you this morning. I can sit here and watch you while you don't pay attention, talk, everything else. I can tell what you're interested in. I can tell what you're not interested in. Asleep? You ain't interested in none of this. You ain't interested in the Word of God. You ain't interested in church. Anything. But I'll bet you I can tell you some other things you're interested in. Yes, sir. And I'm discerning your heart, not your mind. Your mind's messed up because you've called evil good and good evil, and you've chosen the wrong side, see? And your heart's following right along. Well, your mind's following your heart's what the deal is. But you can't, and you better keep an eye on your children as you're raising them. And you better know what's in their heart. All discipline has to be done in love, not in anger, because anger only begets anger and closes the doors to the heart and the mind. Proverbs 22, verse 8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. A child will respond to anger just like adults do. Like a castle under attack. You shut all the gates. You shut all the doors. I mean, you batten down the hatches and you don't let nothing in. That's how you respond. It's like you're being attacked. That's how children respond to anger also. They just shut it down. You may think they're listening to you. They may be looking right at you. You may say, look at me while I'm talking. You know, look at you, but they ain't listening. The doors are shut. I mean, everything's closed off. And you're not getting through. You're not getting through to their minds. You're not getting through to their heart. Now that's what it does. He'll shut all the gates and put guards on them there to protect himself. And you may appease your anger and satisfy your frustration, but you'll not reach the mind and the heart that must be instructed, for they've been shut off from you. Discipline has to be done in love, not anger. Child must love you. And that love must be based on the respect he has for you because of your example that you've lived before him. Now, I know what I'm saying there. And you'll see, you may not believe it right now, but that's the absolute fact. And you may not see it, you know, the children may not realize that when they're children. But you're in this for the long haul. Remember that. This is a long-term thing you're doing. It ain't today or next week or this month or for 18 years. This is a lifelong thing you're doing. You're putting the influence on that child that's going to last them a lifetime. Your influence. I told you last week, you know, your influence will never be. It'll be the strongest influence on that life is your own, the parents. He's got to love you. And that love has to be based on the respect that he has for you because of your example that you've lived before him. Not all the threats and the beatings and the punishments that you've inflicted upon him. That's not what's going to change the whole picture. If you do it in love, it makes all the difference. It's just like the story about my aunt I was telling you about a while ago. All the other kids that commented on that she'd taught in school, talked about how she loved them like her own children. Came to visit them in the hospital. And they knew that, see. And that's what I've said about a pastor in a church for years, too. I realized that a long time ago. If the people believe that the pastor loves them and that he's doing it out of love, he can say about anything to them. I've seen churches where a pastor could absolutely just skin everybody to the raw. And they still loved him. They didn't rebel and run off. But he didn't do that all the time. You know. And they understood. I mean, he showed them enough that he loved them that they could take it. And it's the same with children. You know, if they know that you love them, then they can take the punishment. And if you've done that part of it and raising your children right, your broken heart, your disappointed look, your tears, and humility will do more to guide them into the paths of righteousness than any kind of rigid punishment. You remember Brother Owen telling, oh, mercy. He said one time, he was almost grown. He said he did something that had shamed his family. Did something awful. He didn't tell me what it was, but said his old dad took him out to the barn with a razor strap and said they got out to the barn. Said his dad was crying. Said he just handed the strap to him, and he said, son, you just whooped me. He said, because I've failed you. And he said, I'm the one that needs a whooping. Of course, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. But that had more effect on him than a whooping would have ever had. Because he still remembers it. And it still affects him. See? He knew he was wrong. He knew he was rotten, that he'd done evil, and that he'd shamed his father. And if his father went out there cussing mad, and I'm going to beat the living daylights out of him, what good would that have done? No. No, that ain't the way it is. That ain't the way God means for it to be either. That ain't the way God does it. There's a point in your life where even though he was wicked, living wicked, had respect because he had a father who had been consistent and who had lived a right testimony in front of him and had been faithful. And it showed him that he loved him. And then he'd done wrong. So you see what I'm saying to you? That's what's most important. The discipline that's done has to be done in love. When children are very small, there's a time when the rod has to be used because that's the only way to deal with them now. When they're little, like them back there, you know, there's no other way, you know. It has to be used. Say, well, she can understand. Yeah, she understands words, but she won't obey words. She has to learn to obey words because there's a rod there. And you don't have to use it that many times. You just got to make a believer out of them. They got to know that you're serious. You know the way, and I know, and here it is again, and you know, you women may get mad at me, but I don't care. It's just the way it is. You know, I know how it is, has been in my home. I've watched other people. It's the same way in their homes. Mama's just a little weaker than Dad. You know, she's just a little more sympathetic. That's just the nature of the way it is. Dad don't fool around. And if she wanted to sober the kids up, she'd say, I'm going to tell your dad. Nah, they knew I wasn't going to fool around with them. If I said I was going to whoop them, they's done for. And they didn't want it from me. They'd take it from her. I remember my mom. She was little. And when we's big old boys, 15, even 16 years old, she'd get that paddle and start swinging at us, and we'd laugh, you know, because it was just, she couldn't hit us hard enough to hurt us with it. And but, you know, if she got mad at us and said, I'm telling your dad, now that's a different story. Because he'd beat us half to death. And we laugh and we think, you know, but I'm telling you, that's what makes it work. Them children got to know that there is a judgment day coming for them right around the corner. If they don't step up and do what's right here, they ain't going to make it otherwise. Man, they've got to understand that there's an authority they got to answer to. Children are small, that's what you got to use that rod. Because their understanding is not developed and they can't communicate with language, you know. That's really the way it is, you know. I mean, even like little Dorothy back there, you know, she's coming right along. But she don't understand things like we do. She don't. She just don't. That's why none of us remember anything from when we were 2 years old. Some of you say you do, but I don't really believe it. Earliest memories that I can conjure up in my mind is when I was about 4 years old. And I think I can remember something that happened before that, but I don't really believe that I do. I think I've heard people tell it, and I think that's just a thing in my mind, you know, that I've heard it, and it's something that, you know, I don't really believe I have memories like it, and I don't believe anybody does. That's because you don't really understand what's going on around you. You're just learning. You're just learning. And so that's why they have to have the rod. But let me tell you something, as they grow, that rod ought to become less and less necessary. It really should. Time a child's past those formative years, boy, it shouldn't have to be something you do very often. It ought to always be on the table. It ought to always be a hanging there. Every once in a while, it will be necessary. But it shouldn't be a thing that you have to resort to all the time, like when they're 2 years old and they're into everything, you know. No, no. If the parent will use the rod with wisdom and the proper measure and with consistency, while the child is small like that, there'll be little need for it as they get older. Amen. Brother Mike. Now, young parents ought to glean, last thing I'm going to say, but you listen to me. Young parents ought to glean what they can from grandparents and older people and how they deal with their grandchildren. Nothing will make you understand about raising children like raising a bunch of them through the whole course of life. I'm talking about from the time they're born until they're grown and then they get old. Nothing will help you to understand about what raising children is about except doing it yourself. And so somebody who has done it can tell you some things. And especially somebody who cares and somebody who studies about it and thinks about it and somebody who recognizes their own mistakes they made through raising their children, they can help you to avoid some terrible heartbreak and hurt and wasted life. You don't want your children to waste their lives. You don't want the devil to get them. You don't want them to grow up and be wicked. You don't want them to ruin and wreck their lives. Looking the other days, we was out in the store, and I was just looking at everybody, and I was just thinking, how the sin just shows on their countenance. You just see all these people in there, and you can just look at them and tell what kind of a life they've lived. Yes. And I look at them and think, man, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, they were fresh-faced and clean. And you don't want your children to look like that down the road. Listen. Take some advice from older people and watch how they did. You know, grandchildren or something, you know, it's amazing how different you feel about everything with your grandchildren than you did with your children. Is that a bad thing? No, I'm glad for my grandparents. They never whooped me not one time in my life. They corrected me. And what they did sometimes made immense difference in my life. Their correction. I've told you before about going to my grandma when I was a little bitty kid in school, and I'd heard some dirty words. I never heard them before. Of course, kids know all the dirty words now by the time they're 4 years old. Wasn't that way back then. I had never heard nothing, and I didn't know. I just said them to my grandma. And she said, oh, my, that's terrible. She said, those are bad words. And she said, bad boys talk like that. And she said, good boys don't talk like that. And you're a good boy. Helped me quite a bit. She didn't say, oh, you dirty little potty mouth. And wash my mouth out with soap. Spank me for saying stuff like, no. She said, what are you, a devil? She didn't say that. Didn't treat me that way at all. She knew that I'd been to school and heard somebody else say that. Who, from a kid whose parents had raised them that way. And said, you ain't been taught like that. You're a good boy. You don't talk like that. Well, that's all I had to hear. Just went on. I didn't say it no more. What would you do if your kid said something like that when they're little? I was little, you know. I mean, I was probably 6 years old. I remember one of the Mexicans we brought up here, he said to my grandpa one day, he said, tell me something bad about Mike. And grandpa sat there a minute and he said, well, you know, I just can't think of anything. And grandma said, well, no. He was just a perfect angel. Well, it really got him, but that was what their attitude was about me. Was it really the truth? Well, no, of course not. But which do you think would be best? Now, see, grandparents can get away with that. That's an advantage they've got that parents don't have. It takes all. You see, that's why in the Bible the family stayed together, you know. That's the advantage of keeping your family together and the influence of generations of the family on one another. It makes a big difference. Yeah. Amen. All right, well, let's stand. I'll quit. I went longer than I meant to. But I know it may not be very exciting, but it's very important things that we've said here this morning. And it's not just for Gary and Elizabeth and Esther and Dakota. This is, you know, man, this is an ongoing thing. There's always children being born. There's always children around. I'm glad for the children we have around here. Somebody said something to me the other day. I think it was the missionaries we had a couple of weeks ago. They said, you know, our church is about the same size as yours, except all of our people are old. We don't have any children. Well, I'm glad we do. And we got young people. And if you stay put, there'll be children around here for a long time. I always have children around. And all they need to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're the arrows. They're the hope. They're the ones that we're going to pass the cup to. The sword to. What are they going to do with it? Depends on us. Depends on us. All of us. All of us. We're talking to the parents, but we're talking to all of us here. Because I know that I'll have a lot of influence over Gary and Elizabeth's kids and over Seth's kids and over Esther's kids. And I realize the importance of it. So you parents realize it too. Realize it too. Realize the responsibility God gives you with children. I mean, live, do your best. Do the best you can. Seek God's wisdom in it. Diligently look to God and say, Lord, help me to do this right. You only got one shot. One shot at it. And you want to have as few regrets as you can have down the road. You're going to have regrets. I don't care how well you do. You're still going to look back and say, well, I wish I'd have done that. But you want to minimize them as much as you can. You can do that by just listening to God, doing it His way. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And thank You for the instruction and the wisdom that's here this morning for us all. Please help us all. Oh, Lord, to be the example to these young people and these children that we ought to be. Lord, it's a very difficult thing in the world we live in to raise these children. It's like we're immersed in this septic tank of a world filled with sin, and it's just so, we're just so surrounded by it. And the influence of it is so strong that it looks like an impossible task. But I know from reading the Word of God that it is not impossible. These young people here can raise their children to love the Lord and to live clean and holy in this present evil world. Please help us to do it, Lord, and help us to seek Your face and help in doing it. Bless it to our heart now, Lord, and make us to help us to keep it and put it into practical use in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.